This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Well, hi everyone, it's Simon Smart. Tonight we continue my interview with sexologist Dr. Patricia Weerakoon. In recent nights we've been looking at our sex-saturated culture, what makes a good sex life, and the impact of pornography on our culture. In this part of the interview that I'm bringing you tonight, Dr. Weerakoon talks about the controversial question of same-sex relationships and the church. What does a traditional Christian view of sex have to say about homosexuality, and is this view, this traditional view, still relevant today? I began this part of the interview by suggesting that the massive changes we've seen in society's attitude toward homosexuality has been a good thing. This is what Patricia Weerakoon had to say.
The acceptance that our sexual orientation and same-sex relationships, as you call it, is there, and the fact that it is accepted by mainstream society is a good thing in the sense that it has reduced homophobia and abuse of other human beings. However, the problem is that in the process, we have moved away from understanding the true meaning of sex as one man, one woman in a lifelong relationship.
That can't be easy for people who feel they don't fit into that pattern.
Sexual relationship or sexual attraction is a difficult thing. Now, homosexuality per se is seen by society as a very simple thing. It's like you're either attracted to a male or a female. So if you're a male attracted to a male, you're homosexual. If you're a male attracted to a female, you're heterosexual. But as scientists, we know that there are a lot of grey areas in this sexual orientation.
Is there a continuum of sexual attraction?
There's a continuum, but it's also very complex. You see, we see men who are attracted to men and women attracted to women, and that seems quite straightforward and simple. But we see men who are in marriages and then still having sex with men. We see men who fantasize about a sexual relationship with a man, but actually have sex with a woman. Now, and that's just orientation. We haven't touched on what we call gender identity, and that is who you see yourself as, or sex roles as to how do you choose to live your life.
Do you think that sex roles and sexual identity is learned, or is it just entirely innate?
We're talking here about nature and nurture. And the recent research does indicate that there is a biological basis, especially to what we call gender identity. And gender identity is, if I was to ask you, are you a male or a female? And you say you're a male, that's identity. Recent research indicates that there is a biological basis to that.
Does that flow over then into heterosexuality and homosexuality? Is there a biological basis to those?
That we definitely don't know yet. There are a lot of genes and chromosomes in our brain and our body that influence sexual identity and roles and orientation. However, we have not still pinpointed one or more that affect our sexual orientation. That is, are we attracted to a male or a female sexually? But we do know that nature and nurture play a part.
I guess that poses some interesting questions in terms of, say, the church and its attitude to homosexuality. Would you agree it hasn't always been a good relationship and that the church hasn't always done very well with homosexual people?
The church hasn't done well in dealing with many sexual issues, and I think homosexuality is just one of them.
In what way is it done badly?
I think we really feel threatened by the fact that homosexuals don't fit into our accepted norm, which is God's norm, and therefore we just find it really difficult to accept a homosexual. Homosexuality is a painful thing for the person. As a church, we are asking a person who has a homosexual orientation to basically remain celibate. Now, that's a very painful thing to do. And as a church, we need to recognize and support people a lot more.
Well, you've said that sexual identity is key to knowing who we are, and I suppose that makes it particularly difficult for a homosexual person if they're being asked to remain celibate.
Definitely. It does make it really difficult because they see their identity, most of them anyway, in terms of that cultural group of being homosexuals. And therefore, to come into a church where most people are heterosexual and many married and children, then be told, you know, you're different. You've got to stay single and be celibate is a very difficult thing. It's a challenge, and it can only be done with God's support and a lot of grace.
Yeah, I wondered about that because I wondered how you then hold to a traditional view of, say, marriage between a man and a woman and not be considered homophobic.
See, homophobia, by definition, is that we hate the person who's got that sexual orientation. And the church was not made to hate people who walk in. So as a church family, acceptance of that person as created by God is the first thing. Now, we as a church say that man and woman were made for a long-term heterosexual relationship. And therefore, we don't approve, and God doesn't approve, of the homosexual activity. But we need to be very clear about that. It's really important for any person walking into church to feel affirmed as a human being and loved as a human being, especially if they themselves are feeling threatened and in terms of their sexual orientation.
Well, that's Dr. Patricia Wirra-Coon. I hope you've enjoyed this series of interviews on sex and sexuality. If you'd like to watch the whole thing on video, you can go to our website, publicchristianity.org. It's been good to have your company.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.